Hi, this is Have Roots, Will Travel. If this is your first time, please welcome aboard. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this YouTube channel, I'm trying to do a lot of different things. One of the things I'm featuring right now is working on a series to honor les filles du roi, the king's daughters, of which I am a descendant, but also doing all of them. And so it's a very ambitious project I'm on, but I fully intend to complete it. Now, those of you who are interested in this subject, please, please click on that subscribe and notify and all that good stuff. That all helps me. I do have a website and a YouTube channel, and a Facebook and a Twitter account as well. So all of that, please feel free to email me at lisa@haverootswilltravel.com, and I would be pleased to correspond with you if you have any questions or you'd like me to feature a particular fille du roi. Put her in the list, and so I kind of make this list Harry Carey, and depending on if I have the info, that sort of thing. But certainly, if a viewer suggests, I will definitely move her to the front of the line. So with that being said, let's get started. Find out who's number 50. Now, regular viewers of my channel know that Les Filles du Roi was a program started in 1663, and I do have a video that goes into great detail, about 20 minutes, about the program and how the girls were recruited, how they came aboard to New France, all of that. It was certainly interesting listening and viewing if you have a descendant and would like to know more about her life in terms of being a fille du roi. Now, let's get started and see who is our 50th fille du roi. Our 50th fille du roi is very special because she is absolutely requested by a viewer. She also happens to be the great-grandmother of the boy next door from when I was growing up. But what's interesting about Madeleine is that this is part at the beginning of a three-part trilogy. I am going to do all the Reclus, which are the sisters. So she came with two of her sisters, all of her sisters actually. And we're going to explore in the next three episodes the Reclus sisters and how it was. Now, let me start by saying that it has been, they were at one time a fille du roi classified. They have now been declassified as not fille du roi. And that is because I'm assuming that their father came with them. However, one of the sisters did receive the king's dowry, the 50 pounds from the king. So, you know, I don't know, but I think I'm still going to profile them because for me, they're still an incredible family. And certainly when you listen to Madeleine's story, you'll be like, okay, she may not be a king's daughter, but she's definitely an incredible woman. So let's get started and find out more about Madeleine. So Madeleine was born in 1656 in the beautiful city of Paris, France. Her parents were Squire Goodbon Reclos and Marie Vionneau. And I hope I'm saying those names right. And that is about all that we know in terms of her origins. So Madeleine traveled to New France on the Jean-Baptiste on August 15, 1671 is when she arrived in Quebec. She was accompanied by her two sisters, Marie and Françoise, and her father. I'm assuming the mother had passed away. I don't know. Each of them had 1,000 pounds for a dowry. So he came to accompany his daughters to New France. So the groom that selects the first daughter, Madeleine, his name is Nicolas Perrault, and he was born in 1644 in the township of Darcy, or as the French call it, the commune. It is part of the arrondissement of Montbard, which is part of the historical version of Burgundy. So you can see on the map where I have pointed out the burgundy, and there's a little red dot. I just realized it's a little red dot. I don't know if you can see it on the upper left, and then on the bottom you can see the burgundy area. The church where he would have been baptized was the Église Bénie de Dercy, which dates from the 13th century. Then you've got the town sign as you enter, and then an old postcard, and then just kind of a picturesque view of what I imagine a lot of small villages in France look like. His parents were François Perrault and Marie Sirot. So let's have a look. Nicolas is a very special individual. Let's have a look at what Nicolas was doing in New France. So Nicolas came to New France in approximately 1660, and he was with the Jesuits as a donné, which is kind of like a servant of the Jesuits, thus had the opportunity to visit Indian tribes and learn their language. He then, in 1665, he left the mission and began visiting the Potawatomis and the Foxes. In 1666, he was a domestic in the house of a widow, then a servant of the Sulpicians, which are a religious order, at Montreal. So in 1667, he forms a trading company with several associates and went on several voyages to Baie des Fonds and Wisconsin, among other places. In 1670, he was asked by Intendant Jean Talon to accompany Domont Saint-Luçon and to act as an interpreter. So he's an extraordinary explorer. So on the 4th of June, 1671, he was present at the ceremony where Domont Saint-Luçon took possession of the land near Sault Ste. Marie, signed the accord, and he acted as an interpreter for the 14 nations. So he was really, really fundamental. He did not derive a lot of, a lot of money from, he did do some fur trading, and he was often the first Frenchman to visit a particular area, and he would win their affection. So he was really kind of renowned in terms of the Indians, in terms of his ability to communicate with them and to respect them. So he was a very, very integral part of that, trying to establish New France, all the while respecting the native population. So Madeleine and Nicolas were married on November 11, 1671 at Cap de Madeleine. We do not have their marriage record, so it is only based on the research of others from a historical point of view. So Nicolas and Madeleine settle in a place called L'Étau. Now let me give you a little bit of history. Michel Godefroy de Lento was the first white child to be born and baptized at Three Rivers. In 1668, he became the seigneur of Doutard, which had been donated to him by his uncle, Michel Leneuf de Hérisson, which we will absolutely visit him in some future video. In the ensuing decade, Godefroy settled a dozen inhabitants on this seigneury. Eventually, this would become Bécancour. So that little portion, L'Étau, would eventually be part of the Bécancour region. Nicolas is found in the 1681 census in that seigneury. He happens to have the largest property next to the seigneury. He owns 18 arpents, which is about 15 acres. So you can actually, on the upper left, you can actually see what it looks like, the view of the St. Lawrence, all of that. And on the upper right, you can see the enlarged census of 1681. So we have Nicolas Perrault, Madeleine Reclos, sa femme, 25. So she's 12 years younger than he is. Their children, François, Nicolas, Clémence, Michel, Marie, Marianne. So they've been busy. Okay. They have two guns, 5 bétacornes, which are goats, and 18 arpents en valeur, which is about 15 acres. So let's see how their family grew. Their firstborn, François, marries Marie-Louise Massé, but has no children. Secondborn, Nicolas, marries Marie-Marguerite de Thérèse Bourbon and has 6 children, 5 of whom reach adulthood. Their third child, Marie-Clémence, Mary Francoise Delpech, dite Delaire, but did not have any children. Michel-Jeanne Baudry, dite des Buttes, and had eight children, only three of whom reached adulthood. Marie-Françoise married François Dufault and had seven children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Anne marries François Lamotte and has four children, three of whom reach adulthood. Pierre marries Marie-Anne Lecarbeau, dite Beaucheron, and had six children, four of whom made it to adulthood. He then marries, after her death, he then marries Marie-Madeleine Champoux and had three children, two of whom reached adulthood. Marie-Madeleine died, unfortunately, at 6 months. Claude married Marie Goulet and had seven children, all of whom reached adulthood. Jean-Baptiste died at 17 years of age. Their last child, Jean, marries Marie Quintin de Dubois and has 12 children, seven of whom reach adulthood. So as you can see, we've tracked, this is a wonderful map. He is very, very famous. He wasn't as famous during his lifetime, but over time, over the centuries, his reputation has grown. And he would become, eventually, a very celebrated explorer, interpreter, and fur trader. He'd be the commander at Green Bay, Wisconsin, from 1684 to 1695. He also had fur traders in this region from about 1688 to 1691. Nicolas would go on to explore Mississippi as well. Bad luck in business, however, would follow Nicolas as he would lose much of his inventory in furs as a fire began in one of his, places where he had it. The natives had learned that he they felt that he had somehow double-crossed them, and they lit fire to his warehouse, if you will. So that was a very sad part of his, he was not wealthy. He did not, reap the rewards of everything that he gave to New France and to North America, as you can clearly see. Nicolas passes away on the 13th of August in 1717 at the age of 74, a very respectable age. He's buried in the Bécancour Cemetery. Madeleine did not have an easy time of it after his death and lapsed into depression and to some degree of mental instability. She would pass away on the 8th of July, 1724 at the age of 68. And I'm not sure of her burial. I think she's buried in Three Rivers. I think she was being hospitalized at that time. If you are a descendant of this amazing couple, you must know that there are monuments and parks named after Nicolas. And we have a statue here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, a plaque in Sault Ste. Marie. There's a park, a state park in Wisconsin named the Barrel Park. And this is at Fort St. Antoine. And these are all places that honor Nicolas Perrault and his contribution. And obviously, and this is what I think, Nicolas couldn't be Nicolas without his amazing wife who tended to the rest of his life, in other words, because he would be away a lot. And she was probably the epitome of, the woman at home raising all the children by herself. So I think she was extraordinary, extraordinary. Although I couldn't find a Perrault Family Association, which actually, to be frank, kind of surprised me, I did find this amazing website, and I'm going to include the link to it. Really nice, and if this is your heritage, absolutely something that you could explore a little bit further. Lots of information on that, pictures and kind of cousins and all that you can kind of explore as well. So the story of Madeleine Reclus really tells us the story, a part of a story of New France and the expansion of the new of Wisconsin and Mississippi and all of that, along with her husband Nicolas Perrault, she was a true partner, and they would have been married at his death over 45 years. Just an amazing couple, and it's not surprising that, you know, a few years later she just couldn't bear to not be with him. So I think it's truly a love story, and I like to think of it that way as well. And the fact that she was able to sacrifice so much while he was gone for possibly months and years at a time. So I think that that speaks of her strength and also her endurance, and her love for Nicola. So with that, I bid you adieu for now. We are going to go to number 51 and look at one of her sisters in this trilogy. Until next time, au revoir.